Talking about work trucks right now, the place that you're going to go for your next top quality pre-owned work truck. Downtown at 2324 3rd Avenue South, there resides over 100 trucks on a lot. They come from all over the country. You know, sometimes a business will buy a truck thinking it's exactly what they need. They use it for a few months, and then they go, we really needed something bigger. Or, why did we spend all this money? We really needed something smaller. So they trade it in, they get rid of it, they unload it, whatever. It gets bought by work trucks. It doesn't have a lot of miles on it. It doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on it. But they bring it here. They put it through a 120-point inspection anyway just to make sure it can pass, and it does. Then they paint it white. They put it on the lot, sell it to you at a great low price. And they outfit it the way you want. Toolbox, tool body, ladder rack, tie downs, whatever it is you need, they'll make it happen for you. Now, these are work trucks. These are not show horses. I'm talking about the plastic, you know, vinyl seats and rubber floorboards. This is the stuff that's, you know, going to last a long time and make sure that it, you know, gets through the job site, which is exactly what you need, right, at a great low price. Check them out online, worktrucks with an X LLC.com, worktrucks with an X LLC.com, or visit them in person, 2324 3rd Avenue South. They are all about trucks. Let us chat with a good friend, Dr. Andy Sokol, who is hanging out with us for Friday in his usual Friday location. We've been talking a lot about food so far today, Dr. Andy, and got into a barbecue war there for a second. But did you hear that list of the so-called best barbecue cities in America?
I did. Happy Friday, Richard.
Right back at you, baby.
You know, and I've told you this on the show before, I like barbecue. I like all types of barbecue. I have my preferences, but if you told me, let's go to this city and eat barbecue, or let's go to this restaurant and eat barbecue, I'm not going to tell you no. I know I'm going to like it. I may have a better preference, but I like barbecue. I don't dislike anybody's barbecue. Now, the caller that really stood out to me that said, the sauce makes the difference, I about choked on my Coca-Cola on that one, because you hit it. If it's a good barbecue, sometimes you don't need any sauce, and you're one to speak on that one. Because when we came out for your July 4th event a few years ago, and I'm drooling as I talk to you, and I tasted your ribs that were seared with that brown sugar crust. Holy moly, you didn't need any sauce on that.
And now I'm drooling.
I'm enjoying the conversation.
I gotta make some more of those. I guess, you know, next week, Thursday, I'm flying down to Orlando. Friday, I'm driving a truck back. I think Saturday, I'm gonna dive in. I'm gonna brine the ribs and probably cook them up for Sunday, because I don't know if I can go any longer without some ribs. And I've been so good on my diet, man. Everything I own has fallen off of me. I feel really good about myself. Let's screw that up. That's what I say. Let's make a mess of it.
As long as you don't cheat 5 days in a row.
No, exactly. 3 days at most, maybe four. You've been breaking out the Blackstone lately. You're still doing some work on that?
No, I'm doing some construction, remodeling at the house. So I really haven't taken the time to get back outside and do that type of cooking. The last thing I did were the lamb chops for Easter, and that also makes me drool. But once I get done with this remodel at the house, there'll be time to sit back and enjoy the outside. And my garden is flourishing. You know, I plant tomatoes, peppers, herbs, and some eggplant. And let me tell you, they are happy, happy, happy. I'll have my salsa. I'll have my tomato sauce. My own cousin and I'll make homemade pickles. So I'm gearing up for the summer for what I always do: cook, pickle, and eat.
I don't know if it's the weather, the amount of rain, what it is, but SHG's garden has also just exploded. Everything is like, it's pretty rare that you get the perfect year, you know, that things line up, and I don't anticipate that this is going to continue. But at this point, you know, everything in her garden, everything in my yard is doing exactly what it's supposed to do. And it's a nice change of pace, because some years by now you're just like, well, that ain't going to turn out. It's been too hot and too dry, and you have to break out the hose and you whatever. This year, everything is going swimmingly. It's a nice change of pace.
Yep. Below 90 degrees.
Let me see. You actually made plans. I didn't know this now. The Black Jacket Symphony is playing Avondale Brewery on June the 9th. The 4th. I'm sorry. June the 4th. It's a Friday. They're doing Hotel California. And I got to tell you, I'm toying with the idea of going. The only reason that I might not, if you'll excuse me, SHG, you know, with the new hip, she can't really stand for that long. And if you're at Avondale, chances are good you're standing up, because they got that huge area out back. You've seen it, right?
Right. Yep.
A great stage. They've had some big names. They had the Wailers play on that stage, for the love of God.
Right. In Avondale, you can take your own chairs.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got those little, what I call tailgate chairs. You wrap them up, put them over your shoulder. I have not heard Black Jacket at that venue. I'm not sure if they've ever played there, but I was like, how perfect is this? It's a large area. You got some cold beer. It's going to be good music. Hopefully good weather. I'm excited about that. I just have purchased lots of concert tickets really in the past few weeks. You know, tonight I'm going to hear Rumors, the Fleetwood Mac cover band at Iron City. And then today went on sale Wynonna Judd. And I like Wynonna Judd.
Oh, yeah.
She's playing at Iron City like Thursday, June 10th. That's not too long away. So,
excellent.
I got tickets for that, too. So
look at you.
You know, COVID is, well, one of the things you and I both have mentioned about missing with this COVID is getting out in public music venues, and all we need is sticks to come close.
Yeah, true story. I and this, I think, is as much a sign as anything that people feel like it's over, like we're out of it now. The pandemic is behind us, and we can gingerly move forward before, you know, going into a full tilt run. I've noticed that a ton of places have taken down their mask signs, you know. I still see a lot of people in there with masks. Now, I'm not in the city of Birmingham, so I can do that. But I've seen, like, the grocery stores I go to, no mask signs. The Lowe's I was at earlier today, no sign up that says you got to wear a mask. And most of the people in there didn't have them on. Some people still did. That, as much as anything, and the fact that, you know, obviously the announcement yesterday by the Biden administration, and I can't help but find this interesting, and you as a doctor of veterinary medicine, but a doctor nonetheless, you got to stop and pause when you hear this, and they say, okay, so you don't have to wear a mask if you've been vaccinated. Oh, really? What's changed from the day the vaccine became available to now? Is there really any difference between then and now? No.
Data.
Like that
data.
That could have been, yeah, they now have some, but there wasn't any new data dump. We didn't get any new information that said, here's why we're doing this. What really happened was the head of the CDC got pressed real hard in an interview a couple of days ago, and I want to say it was somebody on Fox News. It may have been Maria Bartiromo. She really does ask good questions. And the question that was repeated over and over again was, but do you have any data, that any evidence that people need to wear masks after they're vaccinated? And she finally admitted, no, we don't really have any scientific data or scientific evidence that needs to be done. Okay. Well, and you know, once that news came out, by golly, it was like 2 days later, okay, you don't have to wear masks anymore. Huh. It's about damn time. Sick of
masks.
Well, you
know, at Caldwell Mill, we always give anybody, if you want to wear a mask, you can. And let's say my technician goes, greets a client and a patient in a room, comes out, gives me the report, and I'm about to go in there. I say, are they wearing a mask? And if they go, no, I'm like, fine, I go in without a mask. If they say yes, I go in and say, hey, I have been vaccinated. If you want me to wear a mask, I'll be happy to. Because I have mine wrapped around my neck as on a necklace.
Sure.
And most people go, yes, I've been vaccinated too, and they whoop off their mask after I say that.
Right. But, and everybody's happy. And there was much rejoicing.
Being vaccinated, I have kind of a peace. You know, it's given me a peace of mind. Hey, I'm protected. And when I'm around somebody, if they have any question, I go, hey, I've been vaccinated.
I'm okay.
We need little dog tags.
I am loaded down.
Tag like your dog wears a rabies tag. We need to wear a tag that dingles and dingles and dingles and says, hey, I've been vaccinated.
Speak for yourself. I've got more antibodies than I know what to do with. Hey, we got to take a break. We're chatting with Dr. Andy Sokol. He, of course, is a veterinarian with Caldwell Mill Animal Clinic. If you have pet questions, you can certainly bounce those off of us. If you want to talk about the one-hit wonder list, if you want to talk about the you want to continue to talk about barbecue, any and all topics are wide open. It's late. It's on a Friday. Let's do it. Stick around. We'll be right back. It doesn't always happen on the air. It has a couple of times, but it's pretty common. Once a week, once every couple of weeks, somebody contacts me and says, hey, thanks for turning me on to Love Lady Electric. Love Lady Electrical Contractors, these guys, they came out, they did what they said they were going to do. They did it for the price they said they were going to do. It was less than anybody else, which I thought was, you know, awesome. They do such a good job. They just installed some security lights for me earlier this week. That's the second time they've been at my house. I have another job for them lined up a little bit later. But I love these guys. Actually, did I say second or third time? Third time they've been at my house. I love these guys. I really do. And you'll love them, too. Whatever size the job may be, huge, massive, overwhelming, they'll send a van full of people. Small, easy, probably two people can handle it, okay? That's what they sent to my place. So when you need an electrician and you want it to be for less and you want them to show up on time and you want them to do what they say they're going to do and you want them to charge what they say they're going to charge, Love Lady Electrical Contractors, the right people. They'll knock $30 off your initial call if you tell them you heard about it here. 603-3692, 603-3692, Love Lady Electrical Contractors. Let's quickly go to the phones. Dr. Andy hanging out with us. Jerry is on a cell phone. Jerry, you're on Talk 99.5. What's up?
Oh, hey there. Hey, Dr. Andy. Hey, Richard. Jerry here.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, hey, Jerry.
I got an answer to a big stupid question there.
So you're on a first date, and you ask your person that you're dating, like, who? What's your favorite food? And they give you an answer. And the answer is enough to make you get up and walk out. What would that answer be?
Oh, yeah. Probably if they said anything by that Maria.
Okay. Way to bring back a bit that's like 3 years old. Nicely done.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you got to do something like that on a Friday, though, right?
And it's Marie Calendar. It's not the other word. It's Marie Calendar, just to be clear on
Maria?
That.
Maria?
No, Jerry, don't say it again. Damn it.
I didn't mean to say Maria again.
Thank you, Jerry. Get off my phone line. Oh. What you've just witnessed, Dr. Andy, is the perils of starting a running bit.
I haven't heard that shtick in a long time.
It's been a long time. It was the hurricane that went through Puerto Rico, and I told Austin, I said, every time I say this name, you're going to break out. And I actually had edited it up for him, used the original version, and we did it. And then anytime anybody said it, it got used, and then people just wore it out. And I finally said, we can't do this. We can't do this like six times every hour every day. You've abused it, and I ended it. And now, for some reason, it's back like a ghost.
And normally, Jerry brings some good stuff to the show. Now, granted, it's taken a while to get used to him. He had to grow on me.
Like a fungus,
he normally
yes.
He brings some good takes to the show, making me laugh. And then he does this, man.
Yeah.
If I ran the show, I'd ban him for 2 weeks.
That's it. He's off. No, he's not allowed to come on. I 2 weeks seems a little harsh. I say 2 days. He's not allowed to call back until Monday. That's what I say. Let's talk to Steve in Hueytown. Steve, you're on Talk 99.5. You got a question for the good doctor?
Yeah, I sure do. I was watching a dog dive on a big glop of ice cream the other day, and I just thought to myself, If I did that, I'd get brain freeze, and I go, I wonder if dogs get it.
That's a good question. Do dogs get brain freeze? I would assume so.
This is a great question, because my answer is just on my clinical trial. I have given Marty an icy. Oh, my gosh, I saw what a brain freeze looks like in a dog.
Really?
Because Marty ate some of this icy on a really hot day, and you would have thought he was, like, doing an Etch-a-Sketch. He was shaking his head left, right, and he closed his eyes. And then he looked around like, what was that? Give me some more icy. So my answer, do dogs get brain freeze, is absolutely, and Marty was my test subject.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Well,
good stuff.
I'm glad you know that.
Steve, you do know the scientific reason for brain freeze?
Not really.
What happens?
He does not know.
Well,
tell him.
Your sinuses get super cold.
No, not exactly that. But what happens is your esophagus is right next to your aorta. So when that cold goes down your esophagus, it makes the temperature of the blood coming up your aorta that's heading to your brain really cold. So suddenly you get a cold burst of blood going to your brain and ouch.
Hmm.
You have to wait for the body temperature, the blood temperature to heat up to re-warm up your brain. So that's the science behind a brain freeze.
And now you know. And now you know. Thank you for the call, Steve. I appreciate it. I was like Mr. Wizard section there. I always heard that the way to defeat brain freeze is to take your tongue and press it up against the roof of your mouth. Because your tongue is actually staying relatively warm. And that it will cool off that particular area and will warm it back up again and get it in sync. But, you know, here's the thing. I, like many children, got brain freeze when I was a kid because I would eat the ice cream too damn fast. I was always excited about getting the ice cream because I was like, eat this before my mom snatches it away from me. Now that I'm an adult, I can eat ice cream whatever the hell I want. I tend to savor it, you know. I like to enjoy it. I can't remember last time I got brain freeze, frankly.
Well, go get a frozen margarita, because every time I drink a frozen margarita, it comes with a brain freeze.
I don't do the frozen margarita. I got to be honest with you. I just I'm more of a first off, I haven't had a margarita in forever. Like literally, it's been a year and a few months since I've had a margarita. But when I do, I'm on the rocks. Probably just for that reason. I don't like slushies of any kind. I don't care if they got alcohol in it or not. I've just never liked a slushie. So I don't know. Personal taste. I guess that's if I'm on a first date and I say, what's your favorite food? And she says, I like an icy from the convenience store. That's it. I'm walking. I'm not going to put up with that. I'm done. That or lutefisk, which you have to be from the Midwest to appreciate. All right. Hold on, Dr. Andy. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. More of your calls are welcome. 545-9950. It's First News Time. Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. They creep, they crawl, they annoy you to no end. No, I'm not talking about politicians. It's insects. Insects are the problem, and Mr. Bugs can take care of them for you. Well-trained technicians who have all of the tools of the trade on their trucks. So whatever your situation may be, you know, it could be German cockroaches one week and silverfish the next, something else entirely, a third week, and maybe, just maybe, you need to take advantage of that mosquito reduction plan they have because they're really good at it. And you can bundle everything together and get one low price. So whether you're talking about termite bonds or maybe you'd like lawn turf management, you know, see if you can't get rid of the weeds and the insects that are keeping your lawn from being fantastic. They do it all, and they do it statewide. 844-MRBUGGS, 844-MR-BUGS. Been at it for 40 years. You think they might know their stuff? They know their stuff. Mr. Bugs, MrBugs.com on the World Wide Web, 2 G's, MrBugs.com, or 900-3433 locally. You will love your experience with these guys. Dr. Randy Sokol hanging out with us and lots of people who want to chime in
before we
with
go,
thoughts.
Can I ask him a question?
By all means.
Dr. Andy, what's your take on Dynavite?
God, stop. Don't. Just stop it. Just stop it. Hot Rod is on a cell phone. Hot Rod, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on, man?
Hello. Hey, Dr. Sokol. How are you doing? Dr. Sokol, can you hear me?
I can hear you barely.
There you go. Barely. Okay. Speak up, mister.
Right, any better?
Get off the hands-free system. Come on. There we go.
I'm not. I'm on a headset.
Ah,
there is.
That would be a hands-free system.
Well, try it over and over, and it has worked for a brain freeze. That is lukewarm or tepid water, slightly warmer than tepid, would be perfect because it acts just as quickly as the brain freeze comes on.
So you drink that or you bathe in it?
Drink it.
Oh, okay. All right, that's the secret to killing brain freeze. If you want to wash down that ice cream, you know, with some tepid water, you know what would really go well with this fantastic ice cream cone I'm enjoying? Some room temperature water. That's count me in for some of that. I think there's some in the dog dish. I love it.
It stops the brain freeze.
Thank you, Hot Rod. I appreciate it, man. Have a good day. Let's talk to BA on a cell phone. BA, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Mr. Jason, good day, sir.
Howdy.
Yeah, happy Friday. Yeah, real quick, that Styx song, you know, from Paradise Theater.
Oh yeah.
Did you have that album?
Everyone had that album, didn't they?
I like the back of it. You know, they had the holograph on it.
Mm-hmm.
Holograph, whatever.
Hologram. Yeah,
and I love that song, Heavy Metal Poisoning, on that song.
Fantastic. Everything about that album. I had Snowblind on it, too, didn't it? I love that.
Oh, Snowblind was fantastic. And the backwards message on there.
Friend of mine.
The beginning of Heavy Metal Poser.
Friend of mine had the picture disc. And you want to talk about the hologram. I mean, that was fantastic. And he played it. You know, it was like, you're playing that? He goes, yeah, well, what did I buy it for if I'm not playing it? I'm like, I would hang that on a wall somewhere. Why would you play that? Okay, whatever.
Answer to the big stupid question would definitely be beef liver.
Beef liver. That's enough to turn you away. Just not interested.
It's gross.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan either.
I can eat one chicken liver, but not. I've seen people eat chicken liver as a meal. I don't know. I'm not from that planet, so.
I thought when I grew up that I would change my taste on liver, but I did have it served to me once as an adult, and I was like, nope, still terrible.
Yeah, that irony blood taste is
just,
even
just
the onions
awful.
Don't help it.
Ew, no thank you.
This is a question I don't know if you'll have the answer for. Probably only a police officer could tell us for sure. But I was coming up 2A today, and it just happened that I was behind a car in one of these two turn-only lanes. Where you come up today trying to get back to 459, and they had their blinker on. And I was just wondering, are you required to turn on your blinker in a turn-only lane? That's it. That's all I want to know. Love your show. Have a great weekend.
Fair question. All right. Thank you, BA. Personally, I would. You know, because you never can tell. There are morons out there who miss the fact that they're in the turn-only lane. That's also just a good habit, isn't it, Dr. Andy? If you're going to turn on the damn turn signal.
Right, but... Is that an offense? If you're changing lanes or turning and you don't put on your blinkers, is that a ticketable offense?
I don't know, but it ought to be. Because, you know, there's a ton of people out there who don't seem to have the vaguest notion where that turn signal is located. And it's particularly frustrating, especially, you know, when I leave the station. You've been to the station before, right? And I'm leaving the station. I'm going down the hill. And I'm going to go across West Valley Avenue.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, people are coming, and they don't have their turn signal on, so I don't know that they're turning. And then eventually they turn. Right. I'm like, so I sat here waiting for all this time, only to find out. Now, that doesn't really qualify there because there's a stoplight there. But it happens all the time. It happens in my neck of the woods all the time as well. You're just like, dude, there's this new invention. It's called a turn signal. It tells people what you're going to do. It's a nice idea. We should use them, people. Come on.
Right, and the front turn signal is almost more important than the rear one because when you're crossing an intersection, you need to know what that guy's going to do.
I think they're both important. All of them are important. Turn signal lives matter, Dr. Andy. That's what I'm trying to say.
And you said it. It's a good habit. When you Let's, know you're going to turn, just happen to happen to turn. Get,
just to just use the damn turn signal. Let's talk to Pedro. He's on his cell phone. Got a question for the good Dr. Pedro. You're on Talk 99.5. What's up, brother?
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Hello, Dr.
Howdy.
Andy. I'm a
Hello, Pedro.
First-time dog owner and got him neutered this week. Is there any kind of prostatics I can put in to so he don't know he's neutered?
He wants some. He wants some prosthetics. They actually do make like little rubber. You've seen this before, haven't you?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we've carried them, but we don't recommend them at all. And I don't even know if they still make them. But basically, mm-hmm. what you do is you take out the testicles as you neuter them, and you insert these implants so the dog looks like he's got them. And there's no value except to the owner, which is usually the male owner, that wants him to look like it. And to answer your question, so he doesn't know he's neutered, he really doesn't know he's neutered in the first place. He just knows his interests are different and his activities are different and his aggression is different. So, you know, like Bob Barker says, folks, spay and neuter your pets.
Food becomes more important than almost anything at that point, I guess, is what it comes down to. It's kind of like being married, okay, Pedro? It's kind of the same thing. we should be ashamed of ourselves. The answer is, yeah, there probably is something. You can probably find a vet who's willing to do it, but Caldwell Mill doesn't anymore. How about that?
He dropped.
We'll ask.
He's
we'll
gone.
Ask
All right.
Why.
Fine. All right.
Why do you
Fine.
Want it?
Well, I mean, look, I'm sure, it, like you say, it probably has more to do with the owner than it does the dog. Like
absolutely.
You say, dogs have no idea. You know, SHG's just got a new kitten, female, has to get that thing spayed. So you can expect a visit from her pretty soon.
Well, get it before she gets knocked up because, you know, those female cats, once they come into heat, they're going to attract them boys and they're going to have kittens.
Well, it is. This thing is. Let's see, 8 weeks old, maybe nine right now. What time does that happen? How deep into this do we go?
You want to spay her between 4.5 and 6 months of age. But if she comes in for her routine puppy kitten vaccine series at the last set of shots, we'll have that set up for you.
Okay, so 4.5 months. She's got a little ways to go. She's at about two and a half months maybe right now. So a couple of months going. And because right now she's so tiny, you know, you'd be using like an X-Acto scalpel. It would be the tiniest little. I remember that episode of Seinfeld where George hit a squirrel. And the girlfriend was like taking the squirrel to the veterinarian. And he's like, you got to be kidding me, right? And he says, well, we have to put the squirrel, you know, we have to anesthetize the squirrel before we can operate. He says, how much does that cost? Well, it's by the pound, so about 8 cents.
And they had to go out for specialized equipment.
Yeah, we had to send away to Denver for the tiny instruments. Scott is in Locust Fork. Scott, you're on Talk 99.5. What's up, man?
Oh, I got a question for Dr. Andy.
Sure.
We've got a doctor. Got a dog my daughter picked up on the side of the road, a little puppy. Seems to be some type of a wiener dog or whatever. Good dog, you know, had her to the vet, she's fine. Only problem is getting her house broke. She's real good about using pads and that, but we just basically refuses to go outside. Any suggestions?
How old is this
dog? She goes outside, but, you know, won't use the restroom outside.
Right, right. Goes outside, doesn't pee. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. She's probably, I think, you know, 12, 14 weeks, something like that. I mean, she's not real old. She's had her first round of shots and all that kind of neat stuff.
All right. It's not a lost cause. And Dachshunds are one of the most challenging, longest dogs to be housebroken because they can just stand there and just kind of lean forward and tee-tee and don't even give you a heads up. So
exactly,
it goes back
to
basic potty training. Be very consistent of going out the same door to the same grass area. Now, you mentioned wee-wee pads. If the dog's going on wee-wee pads inside the house, start moving the wee-wee pad closer to the door that you're going to go out. So every time this dog needs a tee-tee, she's heading towards the door. And then you can even put a wee-wee pad outside in the grass and pick up the one in the house. So therefore, when she goes outside, she goes, oh, there's my wee-wee pad. And she gets used to going through the door to go outside to pee. And then one time she goes outside and she says, oh, this is where I'm supposed to go to the bathroom. Guess what? There's no wee-wee pad. And she starts developing that habit. Routine, going okay. Same thing over okay. and over.
Sounds to me like you're suggesting that we trick the dog. That's what I'm hearing. Some sort
that's
of prank.
To train, you know? Yeah. How did mom get me to eat broccoli? She put cheese all over it. And then I came to dinner and there was no cheese.
And so I didn't eat the broccoli. Nonetheless, my personal method of, and I've trained every single dog I've ever had this way, Scott. I take the dog outside every 2 hours, whether they need to go or not, and walk around with them. And when they do go outside, praise them mightily. And when they go inside, generally a gentle scolding. I mean, I don't hit the dog or anything. That's kind of, I don't know. I've never been a big fan of beating up on dogs. So I can't really do it. But that has worked for me. Now, sometimes you have to, with some of your more stubborn dogs, it's taken as much as 2 weeks, which is tough because you're waking up every two hours all night long to get the damn dog outside, you know?
Yeah.
But when it's done, it's done. And that's the thing.
Yep.
It makes all the difference in the world.
I will take that advice. And, hey, I think you guys were missing the point of the prosthetics a while ago. I think that guy was just trying to give his dog something to lick.
Ah, there you go. Well, how about some ice cream? Then the dog can get brain freeze, too. I like it. Yeah. Thank you, Scotty. I appreciate the call. We got to take a break. We'll hurry back, wrap this thing up, hand it off to Leland Live. Don't go away. Oh, yeah. Seen him perform it so many times live. It's always great. I don't think I've ever been to a bad Styx concert. 249, Talk995, Talk995.com. Dr. Andy Sokol, our guest. He's just waiting patiently for Styx to come back around again. No doubt they will.
You know they announced a new album.
Yeah, I heard about that, and they'll probably tour to support it, meaning that they'll play one or two songs off of it, as well as all of their greatest hits, you know?
Called so. Crash of the Crown, and that's when we'll go take a potty break and get another beer and come
exactly.
back to the class.
You and everybody else, you know? I mean, that's the problem, but yeah, it was amazing to me when I saw Bob Seger like 12 years ago. He was on his big comeback tour or his farewell tour, whatever the hell it was. He hasn't toured again. He's like, I'm going to do one off the new album. I was like, time to go. And because I had to get up early in the morning and do the morning show the next day anyway. So hobbled up the stairs, and I realized at that moment I was just leading everybody in the arena out into the alleyway. I was like, damn. Wallace is up next in beautiful Vestavia. Wallace, you're on Talk 99.5. You got a question for the good doctor, or you want to answer the big stupid question?
The big stupid question of the day.
Aha!
And I think this is one of the more intriguing ones you have, and actually my take on that is a beverage.
Yeah.
And your erstwhile producer knows.
Look, this is my dad. I know exactly. If she's a fan of Pepsi, nope. Nope.
That's
she's
right.
done.
What's the problem with Pepsi? Why do you hate Pepsi? Why are you going to hate on Pepsi, man?
It's Coca-Cola. This is a Coca-Cola world. And exactly what David said. If we said, what would you like to drink, Pepsi? Okay, hey, nice to know you. I mean,
wow.
I realize there are people that drink Pepsi, drive Fords, and cheer for Auburn, but I don't like to be associated with them.
Wow. Okay, then. I happen to drive a Ford. I do cheer for Auburn, and occasionally I drink a Pepsi. So I guess you're going to have to stop listening to my show now, Wallace.
Won't happen. Won't happen. I do make exceptions. But
oh, well.
It's a great one, and it's a great way to start the weekend. God bless y'all all, and we'll talk to you next time.
I feel special. Thank you, Wallace. Have a great weekend, man. Let's talk to EC in Hueytown. EC, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Hey, Dr. Andy, Richard, how y'all doing?
I am exquisite, as always.
Oh, Dr. Andy.
I'm great. On pins and needles, waiting to hear your question.
Can't hardly wait to find out. This is an answer to the big stupid question, I'm betting.
Okay. I also got a question for Dr. Andy, if it's okay, if I do it kind of quick.
Sure, why not? Why don't we start with that, shall we?
The question for Dr. Andy or the stupid question?
The question for Dr. Andy. Go.
Okay, I've got a little cat, you know, when I say little, he's named Kay, K-A-I, and he's a virtually outside cat. He lives basically in my garage or workshop, whatever. He sleeps in there, litter box, everything. But, you know, I let him out all day long, whatever, and he roams around, has a good time. But he's been messing around, you know. I live out in the country, and there's several chipmunks and stuff like that. And he ends up playing with them, you know, whatever cats do, claw them and, you know, play with them and whatever they
kill them. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Is that a bad thing, or if it is, should I break them, or can you break them?
I don't know how you can break them of that.
Yeah, it's a natural instinct, you know. That's a hunting natural instinct. I think, and it's not going to harm them, is it, Dr. Andy?
Well, there's always a risk because, you know, the squirrel or the chipmunk could have some disease, could have parasites. The squirrel could fight back, could bite him. Or if he swallows a piece of bone, it could get lodged in him. So there is a risk, but a cat's a cat. You've got a cat that's indoor, outdoor, and he's living the life of a cat. There's a risk for any dog or any cat being outdoors. And so you've just said, hey, I assume the risk. Go have a good time. I hope nothing happens. And then if something happens, hey, you bring him on to a vet, let them take care of it, and say, oh, yeah, he's been chasing squirrels. There's a risk. So, you know,
there you go.
Risk when you drive too fast.
And yeah. Now you know.
Well, I hate them. I'm yard's covered up with them. They actually get in my vehicle sometime, you know, build a nest.
Sure. Oh, yeah. They're pests for sure. Give me an answer to the big stupid question fast. I got 30 seconds. Go.
First of all, well, let me tell you, one of them built a nest and the fan tore the...
Okay, we're done. Thank you, EC. Appreciate the call. When I say we have 30 seconds, I literally mean I have 30 seconds left in the show. It doesn't mean, tell me a big, long story about your chipmunks. Hey, Dr. Andy, I appreciate you. As always, we'll do it again on Tuesday, and you're filling in for me with Spud 2 weeks today.
All 3 hours.
I'm out of here. Leland Live up next. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5. But bye now.